We are the Forsaken. Forsaken.
You're listening to a Corpse Run Radio minicast.
From collecting to leveling to battling, welcome to Lita's Littlest Pet Shop for all of your pet battling needs.
Hello, sweeties, and today we are chatting about a cute little pet achievement called Crazy for Cats. This is where you need to obtain 20 of the cats that are listed for this achievement. Now, what you shall get is you are granted with a title that is called the Crazy Cat Lady or the Crazy Cat Man, depending on the gender of your toon. Now, with these cats, you only need 20. So, let's talk about where you can find them. Let's start off with, in Elwyn Forest, there is an alliance vendor that sells the Bombay Cat, Cornish Rex Cat, Orange Tabby Cat, and the Silver Tabby Cat. Also, over there in Stormwind City is a little vendor called Little Timmy, and he sells the White Kitten. Out in Netherstorm, there is a neutral vendor that you can purchase the Siamese Cat from. In Dalaran, Bree Annie sells the Calico Cat. Over in Winter Spring, there is another vendor that will sell you the Winter Spring Cub. Now, Dark Moon Fair time, when that comes around, you can purchase yourself a Dark Moon Cub. And a world event called Hallow's End will let you obtain a feline familiar. Jewel crafting profession, you can make a sapphire cub. And one of the world drops is the Black Tabby Cat. So if you're lucky enough to get that, then yay. One of the cubs is no longer available, which makes me very sad. That is the Guardian Cub. You used to be able to get that on the Blizzard Pet Store, but alas, no more. Now, the TCG cards, there are two if you're lucky enough to get. One is the Nightsaber Cub and the other is the Spectral Tiger Cub. Over in Timeless Isle, with the Tournament of Celestials, you can get Zufu, Cub of Zuin. Now, through pet battling around Azeroth, you can get yourself a cat, a cheetah cub, a Fluxfire feline, sand kitten, and the snow cub. There is a quest called Some Good Will Come that is available for both factions. This will reward you with a panther cub at the end. Now, a very nice achievement you may also like to get is called Raiding with Leashes. And once you've obtained that, you get the pet, Mr. Bigglesworth. Blizzard still has got one little cute kitten on the pet store, and this is the Cinder Kitten. And last but not least, if you are lucky enough to get a Spectral Cub, that one was a promotion done in Shanghai back in 2012. Anyway, that is all from me today. I hope you have great fun with your pet battles and your pet collecting, and we will talk to you later. Bye!
Hello, welcome to Ask Cameo, the segment where you, the listener, gets to ask Cameo question, and I'll do my very best to find you the answers that you need. Our question this week comes from Zach on Twitter. He asks, why is there a Tomb of Sargeras if he has never been to Azeroth? And here is what I found. This Tomb of Sargeras, in fact, refers to the remnants of the Temple of the Loon in the ancient Keldarai city of Suramar. Coincidentally, it happens to be the same city which Sharanda, Malfurion, and Illidan grew up in, that was used by the Guardian Eglin to contain the Avatar of Sargeras, which she defeated in Mortal Kombat. The tomb was sent to the bottom of the Great Sea by the Sunring, but much later was raised by Gul'dan, who believed the body of Sejeras contained powers to make him a god. In fact, it was the promise of the tomb of Sejeras that led Gul'dan to the first opening of the Dark Portal. The Warlock led his entire army, formed of the Stormreavers and Twilight Climber Hands, to the islands, thus taking about a third of the Horde's entire standing forces. This action ultimately led to Horde's defeat in Lordaeron. Gul'dan himself was later torn apart by the tomb's guardians at the very threshold of the Eye Chamber, once the Courtyard of the Moon, and his armies destroyed by enraged legions of Orgrim Doomhammer, who had been forced to break off their assault on Lordaeron in order to deal with Gul'dan's treachery. Eventually, Terran Gorfiend sent one of his lieutenants, Ragnuk, to accompany Taggar and Fenris and their warriors into the tomb of Sejeras. Their mission was to locate and retrieve the jeweled scepter of Sargeras. Once inside the tomb, they were confronted by a demon, whom they promptly killed. The demon held the scepter, and it was recovered. It was then Ragnuk, the Death Knight, threatened the orcs with death if they did not help him retrieve the Eye of Sejeras. Fenris was adamant, however, and Ragnuk was forced to reconsider his decision to venture into the Chamber of the Eye. Many years later, the tomb was visited by Illidan, who was searching for the Eye of Sejeras to destroy Northrend on Kil Jaeden's order. Medivh Saddlesong tried to stop him from claiming the Eye of Sejeras, and Illidan collapsed the chamber on top of her, setting off a chain reaction that collapsed the entire building. Medivh escaped, and the tomb of Sejeras and the evil it contains were last destroyed. The tools of the Dark Titan were never used again. The tomb ruins are located on the eastern isle of the Broken Isles to the east of the Maelstrom. It is named the Tomb of Sargeras after the fact that it is where the Avatar of Sargeras was contained and the Eye of Sargeras. The Eye, however, appears to be a mythical item. In fact, does not exist. It's just like the Fountain of Youth with the promising of power. The Eye seems to lure the most power-hungry people to find it, just to be trapped and in many cases destroyed. Illidan lucked out by finding the skull of Gul'dan, and with his powers combined with the skull, was able to escape. Well, Zach, I hope this clears up a little bit about the Tomb of Sargeras for you. Another strange fact, Egwene, who was believed to have defeated the Avatar of Sargeras, in reality, Sargeras just implanted himself inside of her womb, ensuring that the next guardian would contain demonic essences, as well as she happens to be the mother of Medivh, which we all know. Well, that concludes Ask Cameo for this week. If you guys have any questions, you can feel free to contact me in-game at cameo hashtag 1392, as well as all emails can go to askcameo@gmail.com, and you can find me on Twitter at cameo666. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode, learned a little bit of something, and I will see you guys on the next episode of Corpse Run Radio. For the Horde! And I love you all.
Greetings, this is Rigor Morty. Welcome to the Azeroth Food Epidemic Series. Something I threw together a couple of years ago, and it's been a while since it's been aired. Like a horror comical tale of a food-related incident in the world of Azeroth. Lady Sylvanas may or may not be behind it. Anyway, I hope you enjoy. This first segment is the original food bumper, which started the basis of the series. which led into what became the Azeroth Food Epidemic, which I will put out every couple of minis, every other mini, and then I will do something different in between those, but unlikely. So stay tuned and enjoy.
Hey, this place is good. The Addicted to Food Cafe?
Hi. Welcome.
Yeah, what's your special today?
It's, dim sum, but as you know it, right now, blancmange. That's my thing.
Don't you mean blancmange?
Yeah, dim sum. Nice titties.
What else?
Critter bites, worm burger, curdo stew, spider kebab, and clown meat.
Can I make it a drink?
Well, there's water and coffee, but I wouldn't drink it. Try the fun ale of the dwarven stout.
Thanks, is that on the menu every day, or what?
Sign up at the door. potluck recipe. Are you gonna eat or what?
Yeah, okay.
Hope you enjoyed that little bit of a bumper. And like I said, it was the basis of the series that is leading on. So that was technically episode zero. Hope you enjoyed it. Sleep tight.
Hello, my name is Grant Nagus, and today I want to ask listeners to help me with the new segment I want to start on these mini CRR casts, because I intend to highlight one zone out of the WoW universe every week, and I don't have any special order. So if any one of you has any special interest in any one zone, or want to let me know why they like any given zone the best, or are especially interested in any given zone, please let me know so I can like read up on it or highlight a specific event or specific geographical thing or historical fact or something like that. I think that that's going to be interesting because people have so many different perspectives on why zones are interesting to them. So if I don't hear from anyone, I will start with Durotar next week, since that's basically a little homage to the upcoming Warlords of Draenor orc related zone. So if you guys have any interest in participating by letting me know what zone you like, please tweet me at GrantNagus1 or write me an email at TowerOfCommerce@gmail.com. This has been Grant Nagus, Rule of Acquisition number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Bye, guys.
This is Hero Maradex with What Are Pet Breeds?
If you're getting into pet battles for the first time, you'll come across people talking about different pet breeds and using abbreviations next to pet names. So in this short little video, I'm going to explain what pet breeds are and what the little abbreviations means. It's all pretty simple, really. To start off, a pet's breed determines a pet's health, power, and speed. Health is just the amount of damage you can take before dying, pretty self-explanatory. Power is the amount of extra damage your attacks will do. Say, for example, you have a punch that will hit for 100 damage. With 0 power, it will just hit for 100 damage. Say your pet had 100 power and used the same attack. Now it hits for 200 damage, because base damage plus power equals total damage. The power formula is a little bit more complicated than that, but that's essentially how it works. More power equals harder hitting attacks. And speed determines who goes first in the round. If two pets have identical speed, then the pet who goes first is chosen at random. Most pet types have a predetermined amount of health, speed, and power, and their breed is what sets them apart. For example, snails all have pretty high health and pretty low speed. Most rabbits have pretty high speed and low health. What sets the snails apart from each other are their breeds. There are 10 different breed variants. Breeds determine how much extra health, power, or speed a pet will get in addition to their baseline stats. Although, instead of remembering all the different breed variations, it's easily simplified into a combination of 4 breed ID letters. H for health, P for power, S for speed, and B for balance. Balance will take a reduced amount of points and divide them evenly amongst the 3 stats. So if it has balance, it'll just be like health, power, and speed. A snail with an HH breed will have more health than a snail with an HB breed. But the H/B snail will have a little bit more power and speed, and significantly less health. When the stats are distributed with breeds, pure HH, SS, and PP will have more points given out than crossovers. Say, for example, there are 20 points total to give out in extra stats. A pet with the P/P will use all 20 points in power and 0 in health and speed. Let's say a pet has a P/S. They will be given 9 points in power and 9 points in speed and 0 in health. That pet will only use 18 points out of 20. Now let's say the same pet has a B/B breed. They will only have 5 points in health, power, and speed, totaling at only using 15 points and wasting 5. To sum all that up, pure breeds, P/P, S/S, H/H, have more stats than mixed breeds, and are more sought after. That's why people will farm Wisp in Mount Hyjal forever looking for an SS breed Wisp, because it's better than an SB Wisp. Of course, pet families also determine stats as well, where a Wisp with an SS breed will be faster than a Scorpion with an SS breed, and an SS Cheetah will be faster than an SS Wisp, but that SS Cheetah will have almost no health or attack, while the Wisp will have a decent attack and health, and pet families are their own thing on their own entirely. Some pet families are just better with certain stats than others, like Cheetahs have the highest amount of speed, and only two other pets can match it. Little Ragnaros has the highest amount of power, and the pets with the most health is a four-way tie between two snails, a turtle, and Pebble. And so that pretty much sums up how pet breeds work. There is an add-on called Battle Pet Breed ID that shows pet breeds in game, and I highly recommend downloading it because outside of that add-on, it's almost impossible to figure out pet breeds without it. I mean, you can do it, it's just hard as shit.
This is Last Monday Night by Silver Leitomi.